Welcome to the Perfectly Sane Show, episode 604. I am Chris. Tony is drunk in the Northeast state somewhere, maybe Vermont. We're not sure.
I was going to say, you get, because Northeast state does not narrow, because he's from the Northeast too.
Yes.
So usually when he's on this show, he's drunk from Northeast state.
He is not in his normal location. He is north of all of us, we think. We're not really sure where he's at. But Earl is here.
Howdy. I would just like to announce that I did not pass away today. I will continue my reign for many, many years to come.
So it's good to hear, Earl. I'm glad you did not pass away today. And Jeff is here as well.
Yo.
No, you don't want to...
No tie-ins.
You want to talk about the monarchy, Jeff? I hear you love the monarchy.
No, I don't get it. I don't get the fascination. I did my rant earlier. It was just like, dude, like it's just fucked up to see people on the news so like invested in this, like it's or invested in like not just this is all right, okay, the queen died, whatever, but like every little thing that happens with that family, it's like the water cooler talk on the news. Like I don't understand it. Who cares about them?
What I find people care about them. I find fascinating is more so why do we care about them, and not so much in like the arrogant like we fought a wall, but like they like her death doesn't do anything different for us. Like other countries, that make you know like foreign nations, they have to change their currencies. She's the head of state for several countries, so it makes sense. But for us, it's just like it's a person who like a semi-importance, but not to us on any, because I mean it's the figurehead. She doesn't have any actual power. Nothing changes with, okay, not that nothing changes, stuff changes, but nothing changes in regard to the makeup of our day-to-day life.
Right, like our politicians are not, we're not, like they would meet with the queen, but it was only like it's more the prime minister of Great Britain is the one who actually leads their country.
Yeah.
It's very
so,
weird.
So, again, I don't get it. I've never got it. I don't care. Most of us going over all these different names. She was like telling me shit tonight about the royal family, and I'm like, I have never heard of this person in my life. Like, I don't know the cast of characters. I know who Meghan Merkel or whatever it is. I don't even know the name of the guy she's married to. Don't fucking care. Do not care. Why you would care.
Is she married to Andrew?
No. Merkel is either Harry or William.
Oh, it's Harry then. Okay, yes.
The younger of the two. And then Prince William is the oldest son. Maybe? I don't
know. Yeah, most of the stuff like, you know, and so-and-so is married to Kate. I'm like, who the fuck is Kate?
Kate Middleton.
No idea.
I mean, it's, I think for us in the United States, it became a little bit, like, it's still big, as you said, Jeff, like, it's all over the news, and people still follow everything gossip-wise, but I remember it being way bigger. Like back when Princess Diana got married, that was an event.
Yeah, it's like I know who Princess Diana is. I know the Queen. Dude, who cares, dude? I don't understand. I it really is weird. It's bizarre to me, especially when you like factor in that like they don't really matter about anything. It's just like they're like this rich family that everyone's supposed to give a fuck about for some reason. It's like, dude, what do you care? Fuck them, you know?
Yeah. I mean, it's just gossip talk, right? It's why, you know, same as the Kardashians.
I don't watch the Kardashians either. Like, I couldn't tell you one Kardashian from the other. I really couldn't. Like, I don't understand why anyone would care. If you're not contributing something to the fucking world, I don't, you know?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a fascinating celebrity culture. Yes, and I don't think any of us are like diehard fans of the monarchy. I think it's just, it's more in the sense that I think this is a very a very Twitter thing or a social thing, and that like, it's just something that we're all going through at the same time. So people,
well, Twitter's ask, way more like me about it.
Oh yeah, that's
actually way meaner than me about
yeah,
it.
Yeah, it's like it's been pretty harsh. Like, and I get it to some degree, but like.
my stance is like I just don't care about them, but like a lot of people seem to be like really happy about this. It's like, dude, she'd matter either way. It's just some old right. bitch.
She's a 96-year-old woman, yeah. Like, and like, yeah, like I mean, you could tie shit back to her because she's been you know, in charge of the royal family for what, 70 years? Like,
yeah, as somebody pointed out, she has been in power for about a little more than a third of United States history. Like, just to kind of put that into scale.
Yeah. Like, that's nuts. So, but,
well, congrats for her on living
for a very long time.
Longer than I will, that's for fucking sure.
And people seem to, like, I mean, people clearly don't like her, but there are people, you know, they respected the queen. I don't know if they're going to respect Charles as king in the same way.
Well, I think I think because of when she came into power, it's like, it's a very different thing now where I think people just don't care.
Right. Like they care about like who's fucking who over there and who's fucking each other over there, but they don't actually care about the monarchy. Well, that happened this week. Not much else, though, news-wise. Well, for games, at least. You know, political stuff, some stuff happened. But I guess the big piece of news that kind of dropped out is that cat fight we talked about last week with Microsoft and Sony getting a little more claws out with it, as Jim Ryan, head of Sony, or head of PlayStation, I guess, came out and said that Phil Spencer had offered him 3 additional years on top of the previous deal that Activision had to keep Call of Duty on PlayStation for, it would be for 5 more years at the least. Like, that's, we don't know what the terms are, but that he turned it down. He did not feel that it was adequate to PlayStation users.
Which I agree with.
I do not understand this whatsoever. Because I think I told you guys, like, when we were talking about this as it was happening, like, it's not like, just again, I'm missing a huge like monopoly factor or something, but like, all right, we own this game now. We're gonna give it to you for 3 years beyond what we have
contracted to. Terms that you are like,
yeah.
And I think they were just gonna extend the deal that Activision had.
Like, yeah, so we're gonna
almost exclusivity to a point, like, you know, maps first and this other
company from like. Has no sort of leverage in this negotiation. It's like, that's not nearly enough. Fuck you. And it's like, okay, well, guess what? I'll give you 0 years. How does that sound, motherfucker? That's what I would say. Like, I don't understand why he has to give him any years. I wouldn't give him any years. Fuck them. Fuck Sony.
Because the whole point of this isn't Sony keeping this or not. The whole point is that Sony is basically arguing for the anti-competitive thing. Which is like, you could, I mean, the argument I think they shared several weeks ago was that you can't replace Call of Duty. Like, there is no way to be like, oh, you know what, this.
Yeah, but I own Call of Duty now. It's mine. So, well, I don't give a shit.
That's what they don't own, though. Call of like, Duty that's what all these regulation boards are. That's what they're all going through. And that's why Sony's out there going, no, they can't do this because it makes it anti-competitive. I don't
understand why it's anti-competitive. Make your own game.
Yeah, that's what they're saying.
You know, I don't get that.
That you like it. This is a game that was available to all, and it's not because it's not on. It's not on Nintendo consoles.
Shit changes.
But that's they're saying it's fair across both. People can choose where to buy it right now. But if Microsoft owns it, they take it away, yeah. And that's you know.
That's why I bought it. Of...
I don't disagree.
I get what you guys are saying, but it's like, yeah, exactly. That's what I'm trying to do here. And I bought the company. Well,
but that's the problem. The problem is that Sony's arguing that that's not fair, which is legitimate a concern from a standpoint.
I'm with you on this, Jeff. I don't necessarily agree with Earl, and I think Tony agrees with Earl on it. As we were talking last week, like,
what do you mean fair? Like, we're not buddies. We're not friends.
Well, the market needs to be fair. That you know, somebody that they can all compete in the same well. But
is it fair to other first person shooters that Call of Duty is the number one? I don't know. It just seems to me like kind of fucking.
But you're arguing Sony's point, it's not a platform holder.
Yeah,
you're arguing Sony's point, which is like it's like there's nothing that competes with it, so you can't just
make
say, oh,
you make video games.
And what they said, it's been 20 years and it's a unique property. Again, I'm saying what they're saying.
I hear what you slash they are saying, but like. It just seems to be ridiculous. Okay.
And you can't
be as good as them? Like,
where I think it's ridiculous, Jeff, is that Sony has been the market leader
for four
of the last five generations. And not by a little bit. Like, they blew out Nintendo, they ran Sega out of business. They almost ran Microsoft out of business in Microsoft's first go around. The PlayStation 3 sold better than the Xbox 360 ultimately and was only 20 million units behind the Wii. They blew out everybody again with the PlayStation 4. And currently, like, the Switch is in a weird position because it debuted mid-generation for the Xbox One and PS4. And it's now at the end of its life cycle as the PS5 and Xbox Series X start. But the PlayStation is, you know, 10 million units ahead of the Series X at this point. They're the market leader.
Yeah, and maybe Call of Duty would change that, but it's like that's already going to be so late in the gen. It'll be probably next gen anyways.
Well, because especially if they extend it this 5 years, right?
Yeah,
2028.
And also,
that contract would be up.
If I'm Phil Spencer, I'd be like, okay, all right, I hear you. We'll let you keep Call of Duty indefinitely if you give us Uncharted and God of War. That's kind of how stupid Sony sounds to me. Like,
Microsoft doesn't give a shit about the Series X or the Series S. They want an in to have Sony allow them onto their system for Game Pass, ultimately. Like, that's where they're targeting for. They want to sell their subs.
Negotiate to that. You know, hey, you can have Call of Duty on your platform all you want. You just, leave it as a Game Pass app.
But what they're trying to do now is essentially get to a point where, like, Microsoft can't buy Activision without, like, which is, I mean, ultimately, kind of, I think, it probably doesn't work. It's like nobody... I don't think there's really been any major merger recently that hasn't just gotten rubber stamped.
And to be like,
it's going to be reviewed, but at the end of the day, Microsoft is third in a group of three. Like, this maybe makes them more competitive with PlayStation, but it doesn't necessarily put them over the top.
Also, throwing it out there, I'm not a huge fan of mergers and all that. Like, look at the fucking Disney shit. Like, homogenized film industry. So, like, I'm not saying it's cool. I'm just saying you sound like such a bitch when you're like,
right? Is this any worse than is Microsoft buying it any worse than if Tencent bought it?
Yeah, yes. It's just like Sony being like, that is not fair.
Because that is a third party buying it.
I didn't finish. What if Tencent then goes and negotiates exclusivity for a decade with Xbox?
Yeah.
Yes.
Like, is that fair to, like, it's not any different. It's Microsoft put down $70 billion and said, we want to buy Activision. They're looking to sell. Yeah. Activision as a whole, unanimously, their shareholders said yes. We we accept the offer. Please buy us, because our leadership is shit.
This is the world we're living in, man. Fucking cutthroat, man. Sorry, you know, tough luck that, you know, Call of Duty you think is like holding up your fucking systems. Like, I don't know. Again, I see it both ways in a way, but at the same time, I just think that the story, like that, what we started this whole thing with you know, I forgot the PlayStation guy,
Jim Ryan.
Yeah, and being like, I said that's not enough. Like, fuck you, dude. Like,
well,
I don't know.
To be fair, to go back a bit, part of the reason this came out was because Microsoft was the one who's like, oh yeah, we told them they can have Call of Duty and it's going to remain. Then he was like,
that's gracious to me, though. That sounds like something I would not.
So there's two bits to that. And I think, Earl, you're touching on the one. There was a Microsoft exec back in February when this was announced who said that they wanted to treat Call of Duty like Minecraft. And Minecraft is available on everything. Like, there's no, it's, yeah, like it's on PlayStation, it's on Switch, it's on PC, it's its own entity. And Phil Spencer recently said that he had reached out to PlayStation and wanted to make sure that, you know, it was on there for at least a few more years. His words were a few more years after the deal. And a few is three.
Yeah, exactly.
He offered the minimum of a few.
Yeah, I mean.
But I think they're both playing politics, right? Phil Spencer was out there to, hey, like, PR. Look, we're trying to be good to PlayStation, guys. And Jim Ryan's going, yeah, they are, but also, like, not enough. Like, in 5 years, they're going to take this shit away from us. That's not good, right? Like,
what do you think at the end of the day, guys, is Call of Duty going to be, like, come next decade, is Call of Duty going to be a Microsoft franchise?
I mean, yes.
Yeah. It's. I don't think this stops it.
Yeah, I don't think
again,
I
don't
think Call of Duty will be what it was. I'm surprised Call of Duty is what it is still, to be honest with you.
We've been saying that for
a
decade now.
It seems so long in the tooth. Like, I still play them. Almost. The multiplayer still plays great. It's a fun game, but I'm still just amazed that no one else has been able to break into that.
How has it become? I mean, it is a sports game at this point, right? Like, it is a yearly release.
Yeah.
It is like Madden or an NBA 2K. It's just every year you can bank on 12 to 20 million copies being sold.
But someone else, it's not like that, though, because there's not a license to deal with. You can make a shooter that's fun to play too, and, you know, try to break through. And I just can't believe nothing. You know, what's the closest things that have broken through since Call of Duty? Like, I guess, you know, there's like Fortnite, right?
Fortnite, Apex, like it's the free to play stuff. It's
which is amazing. Like, it's just like, that's it. Like,
it's yeah, that's the
make stuff a fucking that shooter that's good. Like, fucking someone step up. Well, you guys have all these resources.
It's not about the quality. We see, I mean, I'm sure you could think of many shooters that are probably better than Call of Duty.
As far as multiplayer shooters that feel as smooth as Call of Duty and has that budget, not really. Not so much. Like, I like Halo, you know, like, but that was around before it, you know. Yeah, I don't know.
Battlefield's
I'm not the biggest shooter guy in the world, you know, either.
No,
so.
But again, I think it's one of the things, again, this is kind of what Sony is arguing.
I think it just sounds like
it does sound like
a bitch.
Make
something as good.
For a company that for years has been like, you come to PlayStation for the exclusive content here.
Yeah,
and that they make, like, you know, that they have made themselves into this prestige, big budget blockbuster, you know, game company.
And to argue the other side as well, I guess, is that it's also not like Sony's innocent. It's not like Sony's been here like, oh man, Microsoft is buying up all these companies, and they've been buying up companies too. It's just they don't have the money to buy Activision.
Right, like if they had the money to buy Activision, there's no doubt that they would have tried to buy it, and that they would have swapped. Because there's still that rumor swirling around about Square Enix, right?
Yes.
There's zero chance that, you know, if they buy Square, that they're going to allow their games on other platforms.
Yeah. And then what's Microsoft gonna cry and say, oh, there's Final Fantasy is this thing that, like, it's not fair.
I mean, they might, except that the financials don't line up with it, right?
Yeah, like, I mean, I guess, yeah.
Like, like, you can't go, you know, at least half of the people that play Call of Duty are on PlayStation, whereas it's like 90% of people that play, you know, Square Enix games are on PlayStation. Some of that is Sony's doing as well, where they lock up exclusivity for 2-3 years, and by the time it reaches another platform, it's like, it's old. Like, I don't want to play this old game now, because if I wanted to play it, I already would have played it.
And again, to the same point, I mean, part of the reason, even like the thing we're talking about, part of the reason like this deal would exist is that Sony has had exclusivity with Call of Duty content for the past decade. Granted, before that, Microsoft had that stuff. But yes, basically, Microsoft is just like, I don't want to do this song and dance. I'm just going to buy the company wholesale.
Yeah, I mean, and for them, it increases the value of their subscription service, which is where they're, you know, as a company as a whole, that's where Microsoft is focusing on.
You know, love it.
They sell Office as a subscription. I don't know. I did see some speculation, though, that Jim Ryan maybe should not have come out and made that comment.
What is it?
Well, legally, it may open them up to being reviewed more in depth on Microsoft's claims of being anti-competitive. So I don't know. I'm not a lawyer. But and I doubt that the people, like most of the people that are commenting, are lawyers. But it does bring, like, it could bring to light some of that. You know, Sony, you know, paid Square X amount of dollars for your exclusivity on this, and then just bought remaining exclusivity on it, so it never reached there.
You know, going to the Square and like Final Fantasy, I want to say Gene Park. Say that, you know, I'm assuming he was referring to this whole story because it was as the day of the story breaking, because he's like, you know, Nintendo doesn't cry about not getting Final Fantasy games. They just made Xenoblade Chronicles, you know, and it's like, that's what I'm saying. It's like, don't tell me you can't compete. Like, you're just admitting you can't do it as well. Like,
We know they can't, because they've tried. They tried to attack Halo, and it didn't work. And
I mean, everybody's tried.
Yeah,
and everybody's failed.
Yeah, but you know, one day someone will. It's not gonna be Call of Duty forever. Like, you know.
Again, we
should say, I guess the platformer space, it's still Mario, but you know, people try, and
the RPG space is still Final Fantasy and Pokemon.
Right, like, people love Xenoblade. You know, like, it has its niche.
Yes,
like,
but people like this. I mean, there's first person shooters that do well, but there's not first person shooters that do Call of Duty well.
Yeah, I know, but I do think, you know, someone will come along, and so I don't think it's always going to be Call of Duty. I don't see why, like.
I can only hope that at some point Call of Duty is not the perpetual bestseller.
I think even as a yearly release, there's kind of the cookie cutter. Like, it's still like really solid mechanics, and I enjoy playing them. But you know, I just like to see. I like to see someone else come along. I like to see a little competitiveness. But competitiveness is not, oh, everyone gets the same game. That's not, you know what I mean? Like that. I don't know. I understand PlayStation or Sony wants Call of Duty. I would want it too if I were them. But I probably wouldn't talk to the press saying what he says.
Part of it was that it did come out ahead of time. And I don't know the sources. I don't know if it was like an interview or something, but yeah. It's also very just weird to see. I really dislike how tribalistic gamers are, because like, again, to your point, like I think the larger point, it's like, even though you understand, like you understand, like you aren't necessarily rooting for Microsoft to buy Activision.
No,
like, there are people who are very active, like, ha, suck it, Sony. This is
no, I'm out of that. I don't know if I've ever been in that fanboy mindset. I think maybe 20 years ago, I was like wanting to. I had a chip on my shoulder about Nintendo because the way I got picked on about loving GameCube back when it came out. So, like, during that era, I had a chip on my shoulder about it, where I was like, fuck you, no, GameCube is cool, you know? But other than that, it's like, I don't care, dude. I have money. I could buy another system. I could buy a PlayStation if I want. I'm not going to go broke if I buy, you know? So I have no, like, allegiance or I don't care, you know what I mean? Like, but yeah, the people that are just like, I don't know how you could be like that. Like, I love Sony. Like, fuck you, dude. You fucking dork.
Like, I mean, part of me is like, I agree with you, but then part of me is also like, I follow enough things to know that it's a tribalistic mentality. Not just in gaming. It is very much the same in, like movies. Like, you have people who are Disney fans. You have people who are, you know, like, A24, which is a, you know, not a weird one, but
I don't see that parallel. I don't see that.
Is a weird one to be a fan of.
It's not a weird one to be a fan of. It's a weird one to kind of be. But yeah, there are very much people. I mean, I guess the better one would be like DC and Marvel with comic books, Russian, you know.
That exists. I think in movies, I don't see that where it's like one or the other. Or, you know, like, oh, I'm not.
It's more in franchises, right? It's like Star Wars versus Star Trek, or
Lord of the Rings versus Star Wars, Clerks 2.
Yeah. Or, you know, as.
But that's like, even that's like dumb. It's like.
Oh, yeah, it's all dumb.
Like, what is Lord of the Rings and Star Wars two different, like, who gives a shit? They're both cool.
Because all you tend to do is, like, you hurt yourself from getting experiences.
Yeah. Me hating Marvel, like, I hate Marvel, but that's not like a tribalistic thing. That's just like, I think it sucks. Like, there's nothing to do with, like, I just don't get that. Like, unless you're like a poor kid who could only like have one video game system, why would you care?
And the thing is, a lot of these people are not kids. They're not
like 45 year old adults.
Yeah, that's it, right? It's not. This, like, is, dude, not my son getting on to the
you
internet.
You could buy a PlayStation 5, dude. Sell that.
And he has one. He has a PlayStation 5. He has a PC, and he has an Xbox. That's where we're at. These people are crazy.
Yeah, it's like, I don't really care how it all shakes out in the end. Like, I would good games. Could you guys work on that? Can you work on games? Because that would be great.
Please, everybody, give us the good games. That's what we need. And I think that's it for news.
It was a very quiet week. I mean, it's a short week. It's a holiday week. There was a new Pokemon trailer that didn't show much. I think the Marvel Games stuff is tomorrow, so that we will have that next week. I think the Assassin's Creed thing is on Saturday. We'll have that next week.
The Nintendo Direct, it's coming.
So yeah, it was a very quiet week for news.
I guess there is one other thing that kind of caught my eye. Crystal Dynamics announced that they had taken control of their most beloved games and their franchises, including Tomb Raider and Legacy of Kain. So Square Enix no longer is in charge of Crystal Dynamics. They are now part of
that Embracer?
Embracer Group, yep. Crystal Dynamics now has the reins back to Tomb Raider and Legacy of Kain completely, like, with no oversight from Square. Oversight from Embracer, but who knows how that oversight goes, because, Jesus, they are all over the place. Like, but I kind of hope that hope we get a new Legacy of Kain game out of them.
Do it.
That is. It has been a long time for that franchise. So, Give me some more vampires. But we did play some games, including a couple new ones, actually. Well, more than a couple. But I first want to hear about Disney Animal Crossing.
Yeah.
Which I don't think that's the name of it.
But that sums it up. It's like Disney Dreamlight Valley, I think it's called.
Disney Dreamlight Valley, yes.
Yeah, it's very Animal Crossing-ish. I have not played I want to say Sean, our friend Sean, has probably played more than me already. But it is, it's on Game Pass. Now, I don't get how these things work, because from what I heard, it's going to be a free-to-play game.
Yes.
But it's currently not free-to-play. You have to buy it in early access for, $30, which to me seems unfair that the people who are playing the game early in an unfinished state have to pay for it.
Well, they're also getting, if you buy stuff, any of those Founders editions, you're getting exclusive costumes and money and other stuff.
You know, I'm going to play it for free just because of Game Pass, though. That's the only reason, if you want to play it on, if you just have a Switch,
you have to pay for it now.
Yeah, it's kind of wild. Or you just have to wait, a year or whatever? I don't know how long.
It's supposed to be out early next year, yeah.
Okay. But, I just think that, the whole thing, that's weird. A weird thing. Yeah, it's if I really wanted to play this game, I'd feel mad about it, because, I have to pay for this unfinished version. Anyways. It doesn't really feel unfinished. At least, it seems polished enough. And I have not really noticed microtransaction-y stuff. I have not played a lot. I've played an hour or so, but the hour or so I've played seemed pretty Animal Crossing-ish. You start off in this little village type thing with and the castles in the background, and you have to you have to get some tools, and the tools are, if you've played Animal Crossing, this is gonna sound familiar, a fishing rod, a pickaxe, a shovel, you know what I mean, a watering can. It's all the stuff that you get in Animal Crossing. The town is overgrown with these evil dark vines or whatever. You're trying to clean up the town, and you get a house, right? And I'm assuming you'll be able to upgrade your house and customize, make it, personalize it to you.
Yeah, my understanding is there are multiple upgrades to the house, because there's an achievement for upgrading it to the max level or whatever it can be.
So, pretty Animal Crossing-ish, right? And then there's also after you do a few things, you open up the castle, and then once you, there's other areas that branch off from the town, and once you have enough coins, you could pay to unlock those areas. And one of the areas is the castle, and they kind of point you towards that one first. And going into the castle gives you access to going to other worlds, and they initially let you choose from three different ones. I forgot what all three were, but I think it looks like, I want to say I walked around the castle and it looks like there was way more than three, there might have been 12 other worlds, and the point of all of that is to just go to that other world and recruit that character to come to your town. So essentially just going back to building up your town, and right. So I chose to go to Wally's world, and it was just literally it was smaller than an island in Animal Crossing. It was just a little square, and there's Wally, and you'd walk around and do a couple things for him, and then he'll come to your town. I think he has some sort of functionality to your town too. I forgot what. Again, I played it once. I've not gone back to it since. And I liked it. I will go back to it, but it's not sinking its hooks into me as much as Animal Crossing yet. Like our friend Sean was saying, he thinks it's better than Animal Crossing. I think that's an insane thing to say. But you know, it seems similar enough that like if you like that type of game, you would probably like this.
Okay.
And you know, it does have like that Disney personality. I will say that the town feels like very small. Like, where are they going to pack all these characters in? And like, maybe the other branching paths that you can unlock are just basically extending the town, and they're not like the castle, in that they're like a portal to like another world. Like, maybe it's just making your town a little bigger.
How big is like an Animal Crossing town? Like, how many?
Pretty big. Yeah, bigger than this. How many
villagers can you get though?
Three.
No.
Three or four? In Animal Crossing, yeah.
It maxes out at like 10 or 12, I think.
Okay, so my understanding.
Town? Huh?
In your town? In Animal Crossing?
Yeah. There's more than three people in your town.
I thought that maybe I just don't pay attention to them.
You not play.
I don't.
I mean, I haven't played it in a long time. But.
So my understanding is 15. At least 10. Like, they're going to fit. You'll fit at least 15 in.
In Disney?
Yeah.
Okay. Well,
so maybe it expands.
Those
maybe
branching paths. Around. Yeah, those branching paths have got to be more town, because what's there is really small. Like, but yeah, it seems, you know, it's kind of like right up my alley, because I like Disney shit and
it look good. I've seen the screenshots, like it looks decent. Like the characters look good, and
yeah, it looks pretty good. Nice. I just, there's something to Animal Crossing. There's like a certain charm and level of detail that, like, even though this has like voice acting and all that, it's like there's just something about Animal Crossing that it's just a level of care and attention to detail that Nintendo does that whatever this is doing as a copycat is not going to match. Like, it's just not. You know what is, I was really surprised that they do, though, is they do like the real time thing in it where it's like, if you play Disney Dreamlight at night, it's night in the game, right?
So everybody's asleep.
But that's the thing. It's like doesn't really seem to affect anything at all. And then, like, it's not like Animal Crossing where it's like, you know, if I was playing right now in Animal Crossing, it would be September 8th at, you know, 9:46. Like, it doesn't do that. It's not detailed. It's just like, it's night. You know what I mean? As far as I know, it's not going to do like the Animal Crossing thing where like, oh, it's Halloween. We're doing Halloween. Like,
I have a feeling it will. I think you'll hopefully see that I hope stuff. So.
But there's no indicator. There's no HUD display saying, oh, it is September 8th or whatever in the game. Like, and I would love that. That's to me, one of the, like my favorite things about Animal Crossing is that like it goes at the pace of life and that like, you know, it really is neat. That if you're playing like on a certain day, you know, it would just, you know, match holidays and stuff. So
I mean,
hopefully,
yes, we'll find out soon, right? Yeah. Halloween's coming up, so
be a but good it is to, it is pretty include
Jack Skellington.
Yeah, I hope they do. It is pretty fun though, just dressing up like a total Disney dork, like the clothes and stuff. That like one of the first things you get is just like a Mickey ears, you know, like. You wear on your head like a little, like one of those like headbands that people wear in the parks.
Mm-hmm. And I guess that was also one of my questions. Like, is there enough meat and potatoes here if you're not like a huge Disney fan?
I think that like that's like the spin to it. Like, I don't know why you would play this over Animal Crossing if you're not into Disney at all. You know what I mean? Like, what's the point? You could play a better game, but. I don't know. It's I also do think that like if you like Animal Crossing type games that you would like this because it kind of seems the same, like similar enough. I don't know if
that scratches the same itch.
Yeah, it's like if you like that type of game, it seems well done enough so far, but it doesn't have that just like
that je ne sais quoi.
Yeah, that Animal Crossing has, and like that Animal Crossing has like this feeling of you're just gonna go hang out and you're just gonna like see what life brings you, and like this, I feel very focused on the tasks that I'm supposed to be doing.
I think that will work better for me because I think that's what's missing for me from Animal Crossing. Like, I don't give a shit about hanging out.
So. The thing I wonder, too about it is like the new Animal Crossing did have that for like the first 10 hours. Like it did have, it was very goal oriented.
Yeah, and I like that part of it. Like right up until you get to the ending.
But it's just like, Animal Crossing to me feels interesting enough to explore without having something that you're driving towards like that. And like, you could kind of like come up with like, maybe in the summertime, I'm like really into collecting all the bugs or whatever. And like, I just don't feel like there's enough here in terms of that. Like, you could go fishing in this, right? But is it as interesting? Is there a museum to fill out with it? I don't think so. Like, you know what I mean? Like, in my opinion, it's going to fall well short of Animal Crossing, but it's something fun to play for free, I guess, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
I don't know if I'm making sense of what I'm saying. It's like, it's really hard thing to explain, like, what makes Animal Crossing Animal Crossing, like, what makes it great.
And to be fair, I mean, Animal Crossing is the most direct, but this also takes elements from like Harvest Moon and stuff. Again, very similar, but lifestyle game. But this does have, like you said, the element of like people give you tasks and you complete those tasks to help them out, and that's how you kind of befriend them and stuff like that.
But I'm wondering if that's just like, because again, like in the new Animal Crossing, that was just kind of like the intro to the game. Like, yeah, it went, like, you could probably spend a month getting to through that intro, right? But like, that's just kind of like getting your bearings and like then you're set free. Or is like, once you're done with that stuff in this game, you're just gonna be like, all right, there's nothing like,
but yeah, what do I continue to do now that I've done
like,
all
is,
the
it,
tests?
Is it fun on its own? Like, is it like, you know,
that's where I work, because like, I guess word came out either yesterday or today that I think it's Gameloft is the dev publisher on this. They announced that, like, you know, once it releases, they will have paid expansions.
Yeah.
So I don't know what that, but like multiple ones going forward. So.
Okay. Yeah, but it's just. That's fine. I do wonder, and it's something I guess if I keep playing as time goes on, I'll be able to figure out, but it's just like, does this thing have the legs that Animal Crossing does? And my gut instinct is that, like, no, it doesn't. Like, I don't know. You know what I mean? Like, it has a limited appeal, like a limited.
Right. Is it going to be something that you're clocking into every day for 200 days straight? Like,
yeah. Yeah, I gonna have, you know, I put hundreds of hours in the new Animal Crossing. My wife has put probably over 500 hours into it.
And that's
not gonna happen. I know it's not gonna happen with this. I just know I'm not. But like, will it have some legs beyond the initial 10 or so hours of?
You know, but if that part is fun and like you do all that and then you're like, I'm gonna put it to the side. If they introduce new stuff and that's fun, like maybe you come back to it every night.
I wonder. I don't know. I don't know.
We'll see. I mean, yeah. I think I will try it out.
Yeah, why not? It's not a huge download. It's something to do.
Yeah. Something that's also not a huge download, and is something to do. It is very quickly done. NASA released a game this week.
Oh yeah.
I need to remember what it's exactly called, because Earl has it down here as SSI. I keep calling it the NASA game.
It's the space science investigations.
Yes.
Yes, I keep on wanting to say space station, but it's space science investigation.
Yes, it's International Space Station, ISS.
Yes, and I think calling it a game.
It's a bit generous,
yes. But it is an interesting, I would say it's an interesting experiment. Like you said, I think you called it an edutainment game, which is a types of games you used to get a ton on in like the N64, NES and Super Nintendo eras. You know, like games that taught you typing or games that taught you math and reading. Like Math Blaster and Reading Blaster were two games I played as a kid. This isn't necessarily that. This is more of a, essentially, if you've ever gone to a museum and had like those interactive displays where like you go and it's like you go here, you press a button and something happens and it gives you some information.
Yeah.
Think of that in a video game sense, in that you get the space station and your facious character gets to navigate around and things will happen to you and you will have to go, like, you at one point you get sick, so you got to go find medication. And once you find the medication, it'll give you a video about, like, yes, you know, like a lot of astronauts get this way because you're, you know, like, I forget what they call it. They don't call it zero gravity. It's like, I forget what they call it, but like, because of the different gravity in a space station, your body processes food differently. I do like how it kind of controls, like, the character itself or whatever you are is moving in essentially the zero G space. So like you're moving at the same time horizontally, vertically in a 3D space. But most video games tend to have you move, you're moving in 3D, but you tend to move back and forth, not up and down.
Yeah. It gets confusing.
It like, does. I was they knew that because like we have to put in a center button because there would be times I'm like, I don't know which way is up. And I would just find something in the room to kind of read and reorient myself to that. I also like the fact that you don't necessarily stop on a dime. Like, you will continue floating because, so you, they do have a button where it's just like stop, and that's motion. And then they have buttons for you to like roll and stuff. So, from a gameplay standpoint, there's not much. You're really just going through these different rooms. But I did like the aspect of it teaching you about all these different aspects of space. There's like one or two mini games in it, which are kind of nifty. And again, it's like an hour, maybe hour and a half of your time, and you get to learn a lot about the space station. I did not realize, I mean, it makes sense. It's an international space station. I didn't realize like each, like different countries provided like different nodes or sections of the spacecraft. So that was kind of cool to see. Like, you know, the Japanese one and the American one and all these other ones. And it's, again, the radically not that different, but it was nice to kind of, again, learn about that stuff in such an interesting manner.
Yeah. And I, the one thing I really learned, I mean, like they teach you all about like, you know, what space does your body and you know, through these videos and stuff, which are whatever. But what I did learn and like in exploring the space station is, I don't want to be an astronaut.
Like, probably it is not.
Claustrophobic. Like it is very tight in certain areas. And like when you watch science fiction movies, like, oh, like this seems really cool. And it's like, this is tiny. And I know there's not a lot of people up there, but like, it's tiny. It's, there's not a lot of space. There's not a lot of places to go, right? Like you are stuck there. So yeah, I think I would not do well as an astronaut.
Yeah, no.
Awesome the work those guys and women do up there is, it's phenomenal.
Yeah. I will say I had one problem with I think I just kind of maybe I flew through the credits. I mean the but I cannot get the telescope mission.
To grab onto the thing.
Yes.
Yeah, I failed it the three times. You're like, you're stupid. Like, we're just gonna do this for you.
Okay. I mean, was it just me? They're like, oh, we see you're having trouble. Here's how you do it. I'm like, oh no.
Yeah, I failed it the first two times, and then I punctured it on the third one, and they were like, no more.
Did you finish the game?
Yeah.
Okay, I will.
Well, I mean, finish. Like, there's no real ending to it.
But... No, but I mean, did you get all the achievements?
Yes. Yeah.
Because it took me forever. I ended up having to look up how to get the ass one.
The UFO one.
Yes.
Yeah, I had to look that one up as well. I knew what it was, but I actually couldn't find the damn camera again.
Oh, I knew what a camera was. I just, like, I was just so accustomed. Because, like, basically, you have to stand there for a bit of time. Not
like
a minute or so. But, like, you wouldn't think because, like, you finish it and it kicks you out of that thing.
Yes. And you have to go back into it and just, like, let it sit there. And then very cute, like a little string comes across the screen with a UFO in it. And if you take a picture of the little UFO, you'll get the final achievement, which I believe is ridiculously valued. It's like 200 points or something.
Yes, it was like everything. And I mean, there's like, what, 14 of them, and it totals out to 1,000. And most of the ones for the actual story are like 25.
Yeah.
It was like the ones I collect the... like collect the sports equipment that like gave a bunch of stuff to me. And I was like, I'm not mad at it. It was a fun little distraction. One of them was also like play twice. And I'm like, okay, I'm just gonna go exit out and start it again.
Well, that's why I was like, because I couldn't find the camera. So I was like, maybe if I exit out and I restart it, it'll just restart the game. And like the camera wasn't too far in, it was like 20 minutes in. So then I'll just like get to the camera again. But no, it just starts you up back in the game again. And you're already done everything. So it's like, oh no, I had to look up how to find the damn camera, which was in the room that I was in. It was just, but I couldn't orientate myself.
Yes. I think I rediscovered it when you had to, because there's a part where you have to, like, one of the objectives is to, like, see every room, which I think you end up doing in the course of it. But, like, I was just missing one, and it was, like, one of the ones that, like, one of the side ones where you go up and down.
Mm-hmm.
So I just kind of fast traveled to every room, waiting for that to pop. And then, like, one of the last ones I did is, like, oh, you're finished. Like, I'm like, okay, that's cool. The books are also kind of a pain.
Yeah, I mean, it's a neat thing. It's not really a game, as you said, but it's a neat thing. Yeah, like,
it's not that big of a title. And again, you get to learn something. I'd recommend it.
Yeah, I mean, just being able to see like the actual inside of the space station is pretty neat. So, tell us about Xenoblade Chronicles 3. I assume that you've played a bunch more of it at this point. So,
yes, I don't know. It was a long weekend, and I was just like exhausted of hanging out and drinking. So I was like, "Oh, you know what? Monday, I'm just gonna dedicate to playing video games." And I played. I mean, since then, I've played, I think, 10 hours more of Xenoblade, and I'm in chapter 2. I'm playing right now, actually. And it was like, I think I'm a huge Xenoblade fan, so it's, you know, it's, I wouldn't take anything I say with a grain of salt. But, you know, like, I thought the game started off well enough. Like, it was a bit, because the core cast is like 6 characters, but you spend the first, I don't know, hour or two with just 3 characters, and it's like, whatever. But, I started playing and actually sinking my teeth into it. And I go, how did it, like, I will just say up front, this is something that a lot of people have complained about with Xenoblade, and this does not change that. There's a lot of systems. There is a lot of systems in this game, and I was just like so happy that some of them started to open up, because it does open up the combat so much more. But I understand that that's not for everybody. But like, you know, I got chain attacks now. I got I can actually change my classes now, which is actually it's not new for RPGs at all. I just find it fascinating because you're kind of encouraged to do it early on, because the game tells you that like once a character hits level 10 in that class, they won't gain anything. So it doesn't make any sense for you to stick around to that level 10. So you want to mix it up. So, I mean, granted, every character kind of moves at a slightly different pace. So like I hit it and I was like, okay, this character hit level 10. I'm just going to change them out. But like you also kind of want to remain balanced. You kind of want to have like 2 healers, 2 tanks, 2 defenders. So I'm like trying to balance it out. Like, oh, I don't want this character to be a healer, but if they are a defender, that means that these 2 people don't have anything to do. So it's like me going through and finding roles for them. I will say that it's an interesting system, and I like it. It's probably one of the chunkiest things I've ever seen introduced in a game, because they felt the need to have a story justification for why. And it is like the most awkward dialogue when they find out that like, they can do this, and that early on you can only exchange with one other person on your team. So everybody pretty much goes around the table like, hey, I can only see so-and-so. Oh, I can only see so-and-so. And then they change clothes and like, oh man, it's like I earned his moves, but it's not like I earned it. It's like it's always been there for me. And I'm like, honestly, if you just did the text box, I wouldn't have cared. This just makes it awkward for everybody when you're sitting here trying to explain this to me, and it doesn't make any sense whatsoever. The other thing, and I think I noted when I started playing this game, is that early on, a lot of the environments and stuff look the same. I do think, it starts opening up a bit more and you get a bit more variety in enemies and enemy types. Like right now I'm in a cave fighting like some snakes. I'm being chased by like some robots and some soldiers and stuff like that. It mixes it up, set you different strategies and stuff like that. Buffs and debuffs. I am not in the minority. I know, but I like the game system because I feel like there's a lot going on the screen, and I feel like it never gets overwhelmed with information because I think they do a good job of making it easy to read. But I understand that people see it, and there's like six characters, there's like 5 meters, there's a mini map, there's HP bars, and it gets very overwhelming. But I've always thought they've done a really good job of having those systems in place and not making it overly complicated or very confusing to watch and participate in.
Nice. Well, I'm glad you're enjoying the Xenoblades.
I'm glad I am too.
Jeff, tell us about the current game of the year, Tinykin.
I don't know if you said that jokingly or not, because I think it's a real contender. I think the game is really great. Which is so funny because I wrote first I made a video going through all the upcoming games, and that was one of them. I didn't say anything mean about that game specifically, but basically making fun about how there's no games coming out. Then it came out and Tony said I have to play it because he said it's Pikmin. And then I was like, fuck you, any Pikmin. And then I played it because it's on Game Pass and it's not Pikmin. It's weird because it is, but it's not. While fucking Nintendo is sitting on their fucking laurels doing fucking nothing with Pikmin for the last decade, this game innovates on Pikmin and kind of becomes its own thing. And it's really, very simply, it's like picture a 3D platformer where you're a shrunken down thing going around like, bedrooms and bathrooms and stuff like that. With, very obvious Pikmin elements. Like, it's clearly inspired by Pikmin for sure. Mm-hmm. But, like, Pikmin never really had those, like, platforming elements. So it's exactly that, though. It's like, it's still doing the Pikmin thing where it's like, you're building up this army to, like, collect an object or two from a level. And that's it, But it's like, you're totally scaling, like, way high vertically and stuff in it. So what were you going to say, Earl?
I was going to say, it's really funny because a lot of this stuff is the same stuff Tony was saying to you last week.
Well, for once in his life, Tony was right. And the game is just like, it's just really good, man. The thing that like makes it so great, in my opinion, is like just how fun it is to explore the levels. Like, you'll look at a level, like you'll enter it, and you're like, all right, there's a bedroom. And you could look, swivel the camera around, and you're like, oh, I see everything, right? But it's just like, you don't realize how much is packed into every little corner of the level and all the little nooks and crannies that you're going to find. And it's like, the way I would go about a level is just kind of running around, finding shit. Like, there's eggs for the little, like, Tinykin/Pikmin things all over the place. So you're running around and you're just like running over those eggs and hatching them, and they automatically, become part of your army. And so it's just like, even just running around and fucking around, like, you're advancing because like your army's getting bigger. You'll be able to do more things. For instance, one of the like the green type of Tinykin, they stack. And they can basically create like a pole for you that you could climb. So you're running around the level, you're finding all these green Tinykins. Well, you're gonna be able to build higher poles, right? You're gonna be able to explore more of the level. So it's like, the more you explore the level, the more you can explore the level, and it just like the level builds on itself in that way. It's really brilliant, and it's like, I don't know if I'm like describing it super well for you guys, if that like makes sense, but like, if you play that game for like an hour, you're gonna totally get what I'm saying, and it's gonna draw you in. Like, so our friend Sean talked him into, you know, somehow he decided to check it out too. It's like both me and him got so drawn into that game. He beat it even faster than me. Like, he beat it within a day. And
he like 100%ed it.
And not just, yeah, not just, he like went for like this totally optional collectible. Like, you know, he tried to 100% that. And I get it. Like, that's the same way I felt. Like, every other game that I was playing fell to the side once I started playing that, because it's something that was actually new and clever and really, really fun. And it does certain things that it's like, if you've played a lot of Pikmin, are like, I don't know, they just feel so smooth compared to Pikmin, and they're just like, it's just so weird, because, like, all right, have you both played Pikmin before?
Yeah.
Okay. So you know how Pikmin will get, like, stuck on things, or, like, you could lose them somewhere, and you're like, oh, fuck, they're somewhere in the level, I lost them, and, like, you know, they got stuck on a rock as I was going around a corner, I lost them, I gotta go back and get them, right? This doesn't do that, you can't lose them, you can fucking jump across the map, and then if you hit the whistle, they're coming back. In fact, they're coming with you no matter what. The only thing that, like, you will only lose them on doing, like say you make a pole out of the green ones, you could call them, like, that pole is going to stay there until you call the pole back, or until you just stack another pole. Like, it's just super smooth like that. There's a few things with the controls like that that, like, just feel so good. To create the pole, like, at first, I was, like, aiming my cursor at the ground and throwing the tinykins at the ground and, like, making my stack. And then I realized it could just literally hold down the right trigger, and not only will it build the pole for me, but I'll automatically climb it. Like, it just feels so quick and smooth. You don't have to choose which type of tinykin you're using. The game just knows what you're trying to do. Like, that sounds crazy, but, like, especially if you play a lot of Pikmin, this just knows I'm trying to use, you know, the electric ones. I'm trying to use the pole ones. Like, it just knows it. Those two things, like the exploration of the levels and how absolutely smooth the controls are, it's just a joy to play. And it makes it, like, really easy to burn through the six or so levels that there are. And boy, do I want a sequel. Like, I really, really love this game.
Nice.
Okay, that is quite a turnaround from last week.
Yeah, dude, fantastic game.
I have it downloaded. I will be playing it. It's on Game Pass, so just get it on Game Pass.
Yeah, I mean, it's available. It's available on other systems. Like, so if you only have Switch, I think it's $25.
I think it's
totally worth that price. It's a game I know I'll play again.
$25 if you want to play it on Game Pass.
I can't wait to hear what you guys think of it, especially if you guys like Pikmin. Again, I think it's a little bit, like, it's different. Like, I think it differentiates itself enough from Pikmin while also being a game that, like, if you like Pikmin, you're gonna like it. You know what I mean?
Right.
It's talk about a surprise, man. Biggest surprise of the year, for sure.
Nice. Well, I'm looking forward to getting to it at some point in the near future. What I want to hear, so I finished Pac-Man World repack. I 100%ed all the levels in that game.
Ew.
I am not, and I did it mostly on my first run through. Like, I went back. I think I had to go back to one level to redo something.
Yeah, yeah.
Everything else, I kind of went through, Finished the boss, and now I'm just like cleaning up some stray achievements. You soured on it, Jeff. Like you sounded pretty high on it. You were a little bit ahead of me at the time last week. Then I blew by you, and then you made a comment about how you hate the game now.
I don't. I mean, it's totally fine. It's just I think that like level 6 kind of sucks, like the last world. And again, these worlds are not like super long. They're like, so I'm guessing 6 is 6-1, 6-2, 6-3, and the boss.
It's the same, yeah.
Yeah, so level 6 though, not a fan. Like it like starts to feel like Crash Bandicoot, where it's just like, what are you doing? Like,
yeah, it gets a little bit. That's the like haunted mansion level, the haunted castle level. Yeah, it gets a little bullshitty. Like there's a lot of like disappearing platforms and
pretty hard
paths. Yeah, paths that you like go down and then like you have to get back, but they're gone because they've all disappeared behind you. I don't know. I had so many lives at that point that I was kind of able to brute force my way through it. But
yeah, maybe because you were like being so thorough. Like I was being very thorough through like I don't know, probably the first 3 worlds, and then as I started to get deeper in the game, like as the level started to like ramp up in their challenge a little bit, it was just about getting through the level for me. Like I didn't care. Because there was no real reason to get like Pac-Man, like to get all the Pac-Man letters, or you know what I mean.
It's just, getting all the letters and finding the maze, if there's a maze in the level, the only thing that that does is the maze boosts your score. But there's a reason to do that, and then getting Pac-Man and all the other unlocks the bonus level. And the bonus level has like extra lives and stuff that you pick up, and all the fruit. But the score, so every 10,000 points you get at the end of the level results in an extra life. Yeah. So you want to like boost your score up as high as you can, so that you're almost always ending up with like 3 or 4 extra lives each round you play.
Yeah. My interest in these elements waned as it went on. It's like, I get it, cool, but, you know.
And you also want to find, you definitely at least want to find all the family members, because they play into the final boss.
Okay, okay, I can see that.
So where...
I think I was finding them.
As you find them, at the end you fight the big robot Pac-Man guy, Talkman. And if you lose your health, like if you lose all your health, basically your family members will toss out like a power up to you that refills it.
Yeah.
So it's basically like an extra life, but you don't have to stop and then restart the level. And if you rescue everybody, I think there's what, 6 of them, all of them will throw you something. So basically you have like 6 lives against the boss.
Yeah, it makes it, you know, yeah, I like what games do that. I think Breath of the Wild does something like where it's like, if you have all this, whatever, like it kills half the boss for you right off the bat or something, you know. I like when games do shit like that.
Yeah, it's neat. Here's a reason to somehow do this.
Yeah.
This thing, it seems like a side quest, although it's actually the main portion of the story. Like your family's been kidnapped. But, if you rescue them all at the end, they help you out. Although, like at first I was like, this is a pain in the ass. And cause like, you're fighting the boss and he's like doing like a dash move by you. And then you have to kind of like, you have to do that running, like basically the Sonic spin move where you run in place and he runs at him real fast. And I couldn't line it up, but then I figured like, I don't actually need to do that. I can make it so I can just jump on his foot and it'll damage him until it gets to the next phase. I was like making it harder on myself and kept shooting off the map and
So in 6-1 there, you know, the level is a lot of like flings, like they're like, you know, moving back and forth, and it's early 3D platforming, so it's like it doesn't play to the controls strengths it just becomes like an annoying like Crash Bandicoot to me. Like we're just like, this is not play as well as you think. And
so it does though. It plays way better than you think. Cause I went back and popped in the original one.
The original Pac-Man World.
Yeah. On the PlayStation. And what, like the adjustments that they've made for this, like it still plays like an old game.
Yeah.
But oh my God, they've made so many, like it's a way easier version of the game too.
Yeah. But it's just, you know, I don't know. You feel the age of the design, even still at level 6. But like what I was going to say is that it's a tough level to get through. And I would keep getting to this point near the end of the level where there was a giant ramp that you had to do the run in place, like kind of Sonic thing to fly up the ramp. And I kept fucking flying off the edge of the ramp. Like literally one time I made it to the end of the level without dying once. So I still had the full 5 lives, right? And I died 5 times in a row flying off the edge of the... I think you can probably picture the ramp.
I think I died a bunch there too.
It has a button at the top, you know? It's like a really long ramp with a button you gotta, you know, step on. And so it took me so many tries, and I did finally beat it. And I was like, oh, God, that fucking sucked. And then I started 6-2, and like the very beginning of 6-2, I forgot what it was, but I died like literally at the first screen of 6-2, I died, like lost all my lives again. I'm like, oh, this is not going to be fun anymore. Now, I only have to get through 6-2 and 6-3, and then I got a final boss, right? So like maybe I'll get back to it, because I literally just have 2 levels to beat and a boss, but I also like... really, really disliked it. Like, again, totally fine. Like, actually, like, pretty cool remake of like a totally fine older platformer. But boy, I was not enjoying levels like World 6. So,
I ultimately ended up really enjoying the game. But I think the earlier levels, in fact, 3 and 4, I think are probably
a sweet spot.
Yeah. Maybe the 2 best. It's and the bosses for them are really kind of neat. Like the boss for level 3, which is the space area, is like it's called King Galaxian, who you're fighting, but basically it's like a Galaga or Galaxian, clone where Pac-Man is in a spaceship and you're shooting and,
up level, like, and yeah. It was a nice surprise. I'm happy you didn't like spoil the surprise, but you just said, "Oh yeah, wait till the third."
Yeah,
boss.
I think you're gonna like it. You're like
that, yeah. And I would say like all the bosses in the game, which is pretty cool because like you think about like 3D Mario games, like a lot of those are like copy paste bosses over and over.
Yeah, it's like here's the same. It's like a different skin on the boss, but you still beat it the same way. And
here's another Koopa kid. Jump on him 3 times, like.
Yeah, but here's like here's a shmup level, kart racing level. Like,
I was gonna say that's more 2D Mario than 3D, but continue.
They do that.
I don't think I need the Koopa kids on the 3D one.
Well, but you fight like it's still like you fight the same fight boss. You jump on him three times. And the clown level was pretty neat where it was like a race here and like, I didn't necessarily love, I wish it was a third person camera
instead of
you being Pac-Man driving from the cockpit, but
it works. I mean,
it's fun enough.
I got through it. I like that it isn't copy paste. Like there's like, we're going to do a different idea for each of the bosses. Also, level 4 was a great level to play through right after I watched Killer Clowns from Outer Space.
I bet.
Like I had like a nice little like circus carnival theme going that night. It was pretty fun. Again, overall, I don't have like any ill will towards the game.
Good. I'm glad.
I really disliking the. Yeah, I was exaggerating in our group chat. Like, you know, it's just, boy, when I hit that 6th world, I'm like, oh no, like. You guys went for the difficulty here, and it's hard to. I mean, I guess it's just hard. This is what it is.
Up until that point, it's not really a difficult game. Yeah, and it's like they just ramp it up.
There's that one boss, the second boss, that's pretty tough. He's
annoying, yes.
But and then all of a sudden, level 6 is like, no, these like levels are gonna be this gauntlet. good luck. And I was like, you know, and I actually do have a couple games I'm juggling now. So it was like, as soon as I played Silky Smooth Tinykin, it like totally pulled me off this old fucking platformer. But in general, I have no regrets about getting it. It's a pretty cool game. If they came out with Pac-Man World 2, I would buy it day one. So
I went and bought Pac-Man World 2 and 3.
What is it on? Or
it was on like the PlayStation 2 era hardware, so PlayStation 2, GameCube.
I didn't know if it was possible to pay on current systems.
Yeah, no. I went on eBay and found nice copies of them. Relatively cheap, which is not always a guarantee with games anymore. It's like retro games. but like under $15 for both of them. So
yeah, I know I own 2 or 3 on GameCube, right? Or maybe both. But there were ones I bought way after the GameCube was over, like maybe a couple years ago. And so I don't know that I played through them all the way. I heard 2 is the peak.
Yeah, 2 evidently is pretty good. 3 is weird, and maybe not good, but I'm interested to kind of take a look at that. Earl, you've been playing, looks like, some multiplayer shootery stuff.
Well, you would think, but I mean, in co-op, but not the online stuff. So I did Halo Reach. I think I've mentioned before that I've been playing through Halo Reach with a friend, and so we beat that this week. And not Reach, sorry, Halo 4.
Mm-hmm.
And you could tell it's a new leadership. Partially, I didn't remember this at the time, and I think it probably didn't happen as notice boom. So I went through and played them back to back. It's that the levels in Halo 4 actually much longer. Much more detailed. They're more like 3-act plays where there's a lot of moving parts. So there's fewer levels, I think, but they're much.
I think there's only 8 or 9 levels.
Yes. But what I did not remember, I remember people disliking Halo 4's ending. I could not remember why. And then I played it, and the final boss is a cutscene. And it just ends. Because you climb up to him, you hit him with like a sticky grenade, he blows up. I think he falls down the chute, and that's the end of the game.
Yeah, which honestly, Halo's weird with its endings. I think Halo 1 ends good because it's on the, you know, it ends with the Warthog chase. Halo 2 has a final boss, and it's not good. Ending.
Yes.
It doesn't have an ending, you're right. But the final boss is bad. Halo 3, again, they go back to the Warthog.
Yes, I think they're bread and butter, and I think it's because, for the most part, they don't do boss battles, which is fine. Right. So, like, if your big thing has always been the vehicle, so, like, having those big, you know, the dun 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 dun, the theme song blasting and things blowing up, yes, it's a great ending. Because I think 3 is the one that you go through like the snow patch and then you get the mongoose, right? Or
yes. Yep.
That's a really cool one. I honestly don't remember ODSTs, even though I just played it. Reach has a really good
ODST
one.
Is like a big, it's a big firefight where you're holding them off at the end.
Okay. So they kind of redo that with Reach. I mean, the difference with Reach is that, you know, you can't die.
Yeah.
But that's also a really good one, especially what they do with like the helmet cracking and stuff like that. So yes, it's not always been the greatest franchise, but 4, it's not a fight. It's not a, like, it's weird because you would think, if anything else, I think the level before, the level setting that up, it's like the first time you kind of get like that giant space chase. And it's like, okay, like, why not have that as something, like, as the big finale or something? Instead, you get this boss fight. Granted, I actually did not like that flying section.
Because, Death Star run that they do.
Yes, because it's like so easy to just like run into a wall, and it's like that's it. Because like you have to go fast, but not too fast. And then when you're playing co-op, it does that thing when like when your partner dies, it sometimes shakes the screen.
Oh.
And Like, my partner died and it shook the screen, and I'm like, I don't know where to go. And I just flew into, it's like one of those faces where it's kind of narrow, and like things are thrown up in front of me and it shakes the screen. So I'm like, I don't know which way to navigate. And by the time it cleared up, I just ran into a pool. I'm like, okay, we're going to start this again. Like, I think the one in Reach where you're actually in space and like fighting off the ships is better. I think this one has something like that as well. But again, I think that, and honestly, I think I've said this before, I don't like the, it's not that I dislike, no, I don't like the Prometheans. I find them to be annoying enemies. I think partially because like the big ones teleport all the time.
Yeah, the knights are not fun to fight.
And then the dogs have like that weird, and then I don't like any of their weapons.
I like their shotgun.
Okay, their shotgun's good. Yes. And that's what I grabbed because like that thing will take out most of those enemies in one hit. But yeah, I like everything else is like their little pistol. I prefer the normal pistol. Yeah. I even prefer the plasma pistol. It's the plasma pistol has a functional use in that it stops vehicles.
And you can overcharge it.
Yes. That pistol, it exists. I forget what their battle rifle is called, but again, I prefer the battle rifle or the Covenant carbine. So yeah.
Oh, well, Halo 4 done for you. Yes. Guys gonna put, you're gonna play the co-op, what's it called, Spartan Ops?
I don't think so. As my friend points out, every time we play, he actually does not like the game.
Oh,
but we're far enough in that he's like, he wants to finish the franchise, and we will pay $5 next. And then, I mean, it's been a good, I don't want to say time waster, but it's been a good way to kind of fill the weeks with the pandemic. It's like, it's a game that has multiple entries. It takes us, because we play for like 2 hours, so it takes us about 2 to 3 weeks to beat any of the games.
Yeah.
You know, enough games that it's been pretty much the entirety of the summer. And yeah, I've enjoyed revisiting them and kind of seeing like how the franchise evolves and de-evolves in some ways, because like I enjoy them adding the sprint button. I did not like them having sprint as like an ability, but I do like the abilities. But some of them are more useful than others. Like the standing shield, I find is probably better suited for multiplayer than it is for, because I feel like the game, maybe again we're playing on normal, maybe it would be different on legendary. Like the sentry is fine, but it dies out too quickly and stuff like that. And I will say, I think I complained about this a bit last time, is some of the level design is not as bad as one. I don't think any of the games are as bad as one. But there are times where it's like so overly detailed that it's like, I don't know where to go outside, like once you finish killing up enemies, because all the things kind of look the same. And it's really
deep. Yeah, especially so, in those like forerunner structures. Like they all kind of, it's like everything looks the same here.
Yes. Yeah. And I get it, because I mean it should be uniformed in a building, but I'm like, it's game design. You also kind of want to make sure the players can figure out where to go. Yes. So yes, Halo 4. It's. And I will say, I mean, again, coming from playing all of them, I remember at the time a lot of people complaining about being a huge departure. It does not feel that different than the previous ones.
Right.
It could have some changes, but it doesn't feel right. And I think, I don't know if it, you know, they were building off of like Reach and ODST, and I think those included elements that would have made the bridge easier to. The other thing I will say, and I assume it's probably was fixed for this version, is that it's a 360 game.
Yeah.
And the game still looks really damn good.
Yeah, they pushed the hell out of the 360 hardware. Halo 4.
Yes, that game looks, it still looks really damn good. And I was just like, so like, yeah, if this game came out now, I'd be like, yeah, this is.
Yeah, it's a good looking game. So, what about Tom Clancy's Wildlands? You playing that co-op or?
Yes, that is co-op as well. That is my other game group on Wednesday. And I've complained about this. He doesn't listen to the show. I have my friends. I do. But I have one friend who, it's not a bad thing. It's just like, I always, it annoys me just a little bit because like we set up and we play these co-op games together, and it's like, okay, we're gonna play these games together, and that's fine. So we played last week and we all started and whatever, and then he comes back this week and it's like, okay, so I've been playing, I've unlocked this, I've unlocked that, I can do this now, and I'm like, that's great, but it's just fun for the rest of us now, because part of it is working together and actually learning the game together and kind of evolving at the same point. Like, it's great that there's these things that will help you later on, but it's kind of weird, not weird, it's just, it feels like when one person has like, oh, I can see enemies through walls, and I'm like, that's a great ability to have, that's amazing, but it's not something we should have this early in the game, and it feels like it just kind of breaks some of the fictions. Or it's like, oh yeah, I have a drone now, and I can like, it could go farther, and it can, I mean, again, great, but the point of these co-op experiences for me is for us to do this together. I could play this game on my own.
Right. Like, you're jumping ahead.
And yes, because it's like, okay, and then it's like, okay, and then like, oh, we can go here, you can get this, you can get that. I'm like, okay, part of it for me is like exploring and figuring this stuff out and filling together. And again, we still have a ton of fun. It's just one of those things I want. And this happens with every game we do. Like, the first week is fine, and then like, next week it's like, okay, so I was doing this wrong. I respect, I picked it up, and I'm like, that's great. I'm like, awesome. But I like games where like, you can't do that too much. Like again, like even if you do that, like the enemies in the game are still really great shots and stuff like that. It's just really frustrating. That said, it was much better this week because we actually knew what we were doing. I think I mentioned last week, to me it reminds me very much of that Mad Max game, which is like you kind of like go to an area of the map, you find territories, you take out enemies, you do missions that unlocks more area of the map. I mean, the map is open, you can go wherever, but it opens up more missions. You can like, you can assist the rebels, so you have people, and that's actually, I really like that. It's immersive game aspect. You help the rebels, and then like, I don't know, an area nearby, you can call them in, or they'll come in and kind of assist you to help you clean out the rest of the people. There was one session we went to where like there a bunch of them were held up in like prisons or little jail cells. We broke them out, and they just kind of ambushed the group of a bunch of people who were coming in. Like, I like that facet. Like, they actually serve a purpose, and like you can get stuff to level them up. They get more health. They'll have, you know, more tactical abilities and stuff like that. You know, the same way you can level yourself up. So I enjoy that aspect. And again, it's also one of those games that I mean, you know, you can get helicopters and stuff and planes and fly from the air. It is a very gorgeous looking game in that regard. And I do like how it's more, you know, it's very lush. It's in the jungle, and I think Bolivia or somewhere near South America.
Yeah.
And it's really gorgeous and lush and green, and it just really pops, and it's fun to play where I'm having a blast with it. So yeah, Game Pass.
Nice. I played some Saints Row.
Oh yeah.
But not the new Saints Row, because that game is still a little broken on Xbox. They have not put the week one patch out on it yet. And the game's been out for like 3 weeks.
Yeah, I was gonna say. You got it. Yeah, you're just waiting.
Well, because like it's a little broken in certain points. So I was like, I'll wait till the patch comes out, right? Thinking like, oh, it'll be soon. And then I checked Volition's website, and they were like, well, the PlayStation patch is out. Evidently, that made the game worse for PlayStation 5.
So then you should play it.
The load times on PlayStation 5 went from like 30 to 45 seconds to over 2 minutes, which is bad because that's like a big... That's a big draw of the new system, right?
Next gen, load
time, and they somehow made it worse with their patch. But yeah, I've been watching some clips of it, and it's like it's still not necessarily like there's just like game breaking bugs where quest markers don't show up, or people that you are supposed to talk to don't show up, so the quest can't advance, and it just stays like that. because it auto saves and just loops. So it's like I'd rather not do that. I'll wait a little bit, let it let them get the patch out on it. But True Achievements is running like a every month they run like a here's like our community event, play this game with us. And Saints Row the Third was the game they chose this month. So I was like, I have that game. And I have the remastered version of it on Xbox that I bought for like $4 at some point.
Yeah, they go on sale cheap. All the games. Yeah.
So I downloaded it and started playing. And people that are like, Saints Row 3 is way more grounded are insane. That game starts off with you robbing a bank in giant oversized like bobblehead hats.
Yeah, it's already like
it starts off in like crazy land.
You should the game. You should. Well, I guess you're doing this because of the True Achievements thing. But like, I think the interesting one to revisit is Saints Row. Like, you know, the original.
It's not. I have gone back. It is not. It's not a good game.
I liked it, dude. When it
came. Yeah, I liked it. I liked it then too. I have come back. I've gone back to it, and it doesn't play as well.
Yeah.
Just doesn't have like what you expect from the game, and like it's a little bit what I'm experiencing with Saints Row the Third Remastered or whatever it's called. It's like this is still really fun, and it's like I enjoy the ridiculousness and over the top bullshit of it, but you know the driving isn't as tight as more modern open world games. The shooting isn't necessarily as tight. And it's a lot of like, here's a mission that is just to introduce you to like one of our side activities. Like, and some of them are fun, like the insurance fraud, where you basically just but it's basically crash mode, but with a body.
Yeah, it's fun. Yeah.
And yeah, they're fun, but it's like those are actual missions in the game. And I'm already. Played it for like 2.5 hours now, and I'm already a quarter of the way done. Like it gives you like here's how you know the percentage meter, and it says I'm already 25% done. It's like this is not a long open world game, which is great. Like you know, it gets in, it's funny, it does some good stuff, and then it gets out like real quick. It's fun. I'm enjoying it. Game looks decent on you know the remastered version. That's something that the Embracer Group, because they own them. That's something they've done really well. Maybe they shouldn't make new games. Maybe they should just keep remaster some stuff because they they did the Destroy All Humans one a couple years ago. That was pretty good. This Saints Row remaster is pretty good. They did a remaster of Kingdoms of Amalur, like that. You know, just you have all these IP. Just remaster those old games that people liked.
My thing with some of them, like Kingdoms of Amalur, I could buy that for a couple bucks, like the original. Like you could play it on Xbox. So it's like,
is
this remaster doing anything? Like,
because to me, better. It has all the DLC, and it goes on sale pretty cheaply as well. Like it's.
Yeah, but it's like what? It's like $40 new, and it'll go on sale for like $20, right? And it's like you could frequently get Kingdoms of Amalur for like a couple bucks. Like the, I don't know. To me, it's like I don't think 360 games have aged as much that I need the remaster. I mean, it's cool,
right?
But
Kingdoms of Amalur had a similar to. Like Legend of Zelda, Wind Waker, like it has an art style that
holds
itself over. Like it's not trying to, like GTA 4, that game is ugly. Like it looked great at the time, but it has not aged well because they tried to go for a realistic look. Whereas like, you know, Kingdoms of Amalur already had a good art style. It was this fantastical watercolory type looking thing. Even Saints Row had this cartoony look to it. But I will say my created character in that game, atrocious looking. She is ugly. hell. Like, and I just could not make her look good. Like, but yeah, I mean, whatever. I would.
It's just
I have Re-Reckoning as well. So,
well, like Kings of, like, yeah, I would buy that Kingdoms of Amalur one, like the remaster, because right. I won't do it. Like, I own the original. It's like I'm never gonna finish that game. Yeah.
Yeah.
Waste $40 to force myself to do something.
And then one other game here. I don't know what possessed me to do it, but I went back and played some Kinect Star Wars.
Chris, there's Tidy Kid, like there's Tidy Kid waiting for you.
Yep, it is.
You keep doing these things. You're watching your Amityville vibrators and
did you watch Amityville Vibrators?
I did watch Amityville Vibrator.
Why?
That's what I'm trying to say. We're trying to help you.
I mean, I kind of had to. Like, I had to see what that movie was.
Have to.
So I had to.
Part of the reason why Sean and they've been trying to get me to watch Amityville films, like, 2 years now, and I've just said no because there's a lot of like Amityville is a brand that just adds Amityville in front of stuff, and like that's the movie.
Yeah, like, I mean they've released, well, so far they've released 4 Amityville films. They're releasing 3 more before the end of the year. It's Jeff and I think talked about this on Recurring Nightmares, but it's a brand that is like the name Amityville is just out there in public domain now.
Yes.
So anybody can grab it and make an Amityville film. It's not even related to Amityville. It's just like, that's a name people know. So they attach it to like their Satan vibrator film. They call it the Amityville Vibrator.
Okay. So even if, even Amityville aside, did you just say Satan vibrator film?
Yeah. Yeah, it was it's about a possessed vibrator.
Yeah. How does, because it kills like one person.
It doesn't kill her. Doesn't kill her. It has her kill other people.
Wait,
it's
what?
Like, it's a vessel for Satan. Satan has possessed the vibrator and talks to the user of the vibrator.
While they're using it or in general?
In general. But yeah, also while they're using it.
I was going to say, because I feel like if I do stuff like that, I'm not thinking about, like, oh, this thing is talking to me.
That's how I come when Satan says. I need Satan to whisper the sweet nothings as I'm playing.
That was. Specifically, I hunted that one down, Earl, because it's like this shouldn't exist. Like, this doesn't make sense. And it is available on a service called Trauma Now, which is the trauma streaming service.
They have a streaming service?
Yeah. Who knew? I signed up for the free month trial of that, which I need to cancel this month.
Earl's like, my Friday nights are set.
I mean, maybe.
yeah, a lot of those Amityville films, well, if they don't make it to Tubi, are hard to find because they don't get released. Like that Amityville Vibrator film, before I guess hitting Troma as a streaming title, only had released like under 1,000 copies. Super, super low budget. But anyway, Kinect Star Wars. Yeah, I played some of that. It was just sitting there, like, and it's been, you know, I played it when it first came out. It was kind of neat because I earned achievements in that game like 10 years apart. So, but yeah, I played all the way through that campaign. There's actually 2 campaigns. There's a Jedi campaign and then a pod racing campaign.
Oh, and then a
bunch of other modes. I think the one that everyone remembers is like the Dance Central type mode.
There's other modes besides this?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, you said pod race.
Yeah, there's pod racing. There's the Dance Central mode. There's a Jedi, like, you play as a Jedi Padawan, and you'll wave your arms and fight droids and shit like that. And then there's also like a dual mode, and then there's something called a Rancor Rampage, which is basically like they let you out in an open environment and you destroy shit. You play Rampage basically, but with a Rancor. And waving your arms around. Anyway, the ones that has the two campaigns, I played through both of them. They're decent enough. Like, I, going back to the Kinect 10 years after it released is interesting, because 10 years ago I was like, this is magic. And now it's like, this is not magic. It is slow. One, that's something that I realized playing some other 360 games recently, the load times on that system are a lot. It takes a long time for one, even just to load into the system. Like, you boot that system up and it's just spinning for a while as it waits to try to log you in to Xbox Live. And then anything on the interface, like, it's not, we're just so used to like it being snappy and instant that even like if it's delayed like a second or so, we're like, this is broken, it doesn't work. If you go back and use a 360 interface, you'd be like, this is broken, it doesn't work. How did we use this? But the Kinect, like, yeah, like, you know, when it came out, it was like, it was cool, like waving your arms around, motion controls, it was the hot thing at the time. And yeah, going back to it now, it's like, it's still pretty cool to like be able to like wave a lightsaber and do some motions and see it happen on screen, similar to like when you play like Wii motion control games or something like that. But there's just such a delay, and the camera keeps desyncing. Like, oh, hello, like it has your gamer tag up there. It's like, welcome back. And then you go through a level, and then it's like, hello, guest. It's like, no, it's like, you had me signed in a minute ago. So you like re-sign in, and that takes like a minute and a half to do. And you go through another two levels, and it's like, hello, guest. So it just doesn't recognize, even though you haven't moved from in front of your television.
I'm shape-shifting.
Yeah, I've clearly, like, I mean, maybe I'm just like losing weight with all this jumping around I'm doing in front of my TV, and you can't recognize me. That did not happen because I was sitting there drinking like beer as I'm playing the game. But there's still like a novelty to it that's pretty neat, but I can definitely see why. Like, we've moved on well past that.
Yeah.
Well past that.
Yeah. And I'm glad that, like, you know, they took something like Disney, was it Disneyland Adventures? That what that one's called, Jeff?
It was
originally a Kinect game. And they retrofitted that and, you know, made it playable with a controller, because that's how those games should be played. Like,
yeah, but it's just like, that game would have been a cooler game if it was not designed with Kinect in mind. Like, the...
Oh, yeah, because you could have done a whole lot more with the...
Make the rides more interesting. Yeah.
Yeah, because it's all very simplistic. It's like it's like left, right, up, down. Like,
if it was dwelling around a normal controller, you could either do like the thing I wanted, which is just a simulator type.
Yeah.
Or, you know, make cool minecart levels where you're like timing jumps better. You know, something, I don't know, you know what I mean? Something like, yeah, the stuff you got in, and that was like literally like float through rings type.
Oh yeah, like a lot of like, I'm weirdly like poking at that over like the last 3 months, just playing a little bit here and there. And yeah, it's a lot like all the big event ones, all the big rides, like Pirates of the Caribbean is like you're in a boat and you go left and right.
It's just so, yeah, and it's just not what you want. Like, oh, we're going on the ride now, and it's like, because the park itself is actually like pretty faithfully done, and you're just like, oh, this is neat. Like, yeah. That game hurts me every time I think about it.
But also, like, the way that game is designed, like, outside of the rides and the events, like the adventures or whatever, like, the actual quests you have to do for the characters are all so... It's just like, go fetch these three things and bring them back to me.
Go get, you know, Donald Duck's autograph.
Yeah, go get an autograph. Go get a photo. Get me three photos. Go talk to this person, and then come back and talk to me, and then go back and talk to that person again. It's like,
oh, that fleshed out a little bit with good versions of the rides.
But the,
man, I'd be all the over park, it.
The park in that game is actually really, really cool looking, and that's why I've kind of been poking at it, because I've never actually been to Disneyland, so.
Oh, yeah. For me, only, like, once.
Is it like the same design as the Magic Kingdom in Orlando, or is it a little bit different?
I think it's a little different, and just for sure, like, you know, the outside of the Haunted Mansion looks nothing like the outside of the Haunted Mansion at Disney World and stuff like that, where it's like, and even, like, you know, classic ride like that, like the Haunted Mansion is different on the ride itself, so.
Oh, well, inside on the ride, right, is, like, don't you do, like, there's, like, it's an adventure inside, isn't it? Like, I haven't done the Haunted Mansion yet, but it's, like, where it's, like, there's, like, three different things or two or three different things to do, and you're, like, gathering stuff, so it's not the actual ride.
Yeah, I know, yeah.
Yeah.
Like, I'm just saying, like, the difference between those two parks.
Okay. Like, at Disneyland and at Disney World,
the
Haunted Mansion's different. Got it.
Yeah. Like, or like Pirates. Like, Pirates at Disneyland in California, it's, you start off like in a bayou, like here in like New Orleans or something. Like, it's the beginning of the ride is completely different. And then entrance, but, I don't know. I'd say there's like 80% similarity between the two parks.
I've done Pirates of the Caribbean in Orlando.
Yeah.
But then, like, I just did the Pirates in the game, and it was like, this does not look like the area that it's in, almost, in the Disney World.
Yeah. No. Yeah. But also between the two actual parks in real life, there could be things that are, like, pretty surprisingly different, you know?
No, maybe one day I'll get out to California.
It's interesting. It's interesting for sure, yeah.
Yeah, I will say, I think the biggest difference I remember is that, because California is, like, one big park just across the street from each other.
Yeah.
Four smaller parks. And then they tend to, like, a lot of the rides you think about are in California. Space Mountain, Pirates of the Caribbean, It's a Small World. So, yeah.
Go well, like, it. Star Tours. Like,
right. I've done Star Tours in LA.
It's in Hollywood Studios, whatever, right? Yeah, it's, you know, Disneyland, right. California, it is, I think Star Tours is in Disneyland. So it's like, you have, like, almost everything crammed into the Magic Kingdom, essentially, in California, and it's actually a smaller park to begin with, so it's interesting, man. Like, if you're a buff of this stuff, it's, like, super cool to compare the two. But I have not been to California once since I was a little kid. There was no second park. It was just Disneyland. There was no California Adventure or whatever it's called across the street,
which is their budget park, right?
Yeah, yeah. It's like, yeah. It was supposed to be like their idea of Atlantic City or something like that.
I've recently fallen down the rabbit hole of Defunct Land.
Yeah, on YouTube. I love that shit, dude. Like, I love all that stuff.
But that's it for what I've been playing, and I think for what Earl's been playing. Jeff, did you play anything else?
If I did, we'll leave it.
Yeah, let's
just leave it
be. I think this is going to be a short show. There's no news this week.
2 hours later.
We went on for an hour and a half on games. We did play a lot of games this week, though.
Yeah,
for sure.
I feel like that's going to continue onward next week, at least for me. I mean, as of this recording, 2 minutes until it unlocks.
All right, well, we'll have Splatoon next week. Is there anything else? I thought there was something else.
Is there anything next week? I think there was, but I could be mistaken. And again, we'll have news because, again, we'll have the Marvel game thing tomorrow. The Assassin's Creed thing is on Saturday.
And
I want to say there's something else next Thursday.
Tokyo Game Show kicks off on Thursday.
Yes, there we go. So, and then, like, as Jeff noted, there's a possibility of a Nintendo Direct early next week. You know, rumors are just the people who said it also might be delayed due to Queen Elizabeth's death. So we'll see.
That's going to piss Jeff off. If they delay the Nintendo Direct because of the Queen, Jeff will not be happy. All right. Well, Arnold said lots of stuff for next week. Tony should be back too, so I'm sure we'll get more Madden in there. Yeah. Come join us next week. Jeff, say goodnight.
Good night.